For my family. 1. Lydia is dead, but they don't know this yet. 1977, May 3rd, 6:30 in the morning. No one knows anything but this innocuous fact. Lydia is late for breakfast. As always, next to her cereal bowl, her mother has placed a sharpened pencil in Lydia's physics homework. 6 problems flagged with small ticks. Driving to work, Lydia's father nudges the dial toward WXKP, Northwest Ohio's best news source, vexed by the crackles of static. On the stairs, Lydia's brother yawns, still twined in the tail end of his dream. And in her chair in the corner of the kitchen, Lydia's sister hunches moon-eyed over her cornflakes, sucking them to pieces one by one, waiting for Lydia to appear. It's she who says, at last, "Lydia's taking a long time today." Upstairs, Marilyn opens her daughter's door and sees the bed unslept in. Neat hospital corners still pleated beneath the comforter, pillow still fluffed and convex. Nothing seems out of place. Mustard-colored corduroys tangled on the floor, a single rainbow-striped sock, a row of science fair ribbons on the wall, a postcard of Einstein. Lydia's duffel bag crumpled on the floor of the closet. Lydia's green book bag slouched against her desk. Lydia's bottle of baby soft atop the dresser, a sweet, powdery, loved baby scent still in the air. But no Lydia. Marilyn closes her eyes. Maybe when she opens them, Lydia will be there, covers pulled over her head as usual, wisps of hair trailing from beneath, a grumpy lump bundled under the bedspread that she'd somehow missed before. "I was in the bathroom, Mom. I went downstairs for some water. I was lying right here all the time." Of course, when she looks, nothing has changed. The closed curtains glow like a blank television screen. Downstairs, she stops in the doorway of the kitchen, a hand on each side of the frame. Her silence says everything. "I'll check outside," she says at last. "Maybe for some reason." She keeps her gaze trained on the floor as she heads for the front door, as if Lydia's footprints might be crushed into the hall runner. Nath says to Hannah, "She was in her room last night. I heard her radio playing, at 11:30. He stops, remembering that he had not said goodnight.
"Can you be kidnapped if you're 16? Hannah asks.
Nath prods at his bowl with a spoon. Cornflakes wilt and sink into clouded milk. Their mother steps back into the kitchen, and for one glorious fraction of a second, Nath sighs with relief. There she is, Lydia, safe and sound. It happens sometimes. Their faces are so alike you'd see one in the corner of your eye and mistake her for the other. The same elfish chin and high cheekbones and left cheek dimple. The same thin-shouldered build. Only the hair color is different. Lydia's ink black instead of their mother's honey blonde. He and Hannah take after their father. Once a woman stopped the two of them in the grocery store and asked, "Chinese?" And when they said yes, not wanting to get into halves and wholes, she'd nodded sagely. "I knew it," she said, "by the eyes." She'd tugged the corner of each eye outward with a fingertip. But Lydia, defying genetics, somehow has her mother's blue eyes, and they know this is one more reason she is their mother's favorite. And their father's, too. Then Lydia raises one hand to her brow and becomes his mother again. "The car's still here," she says. But Nath had known it would be. Lydia can't drive. She doesn't even have a learner's permit yet. Last week, she'd surprised them all by failing the exam, and their father wouldn't even let her sit in the driver's seat without it. Nath stirs his cereal.